Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review.
You okay there, bud? You got the giggles?
That was just a really funny voice I did. My name is Dan, and this is Jared right next to me. Hi, Jared. How are you doing?
Hello, Dan. This is our normal speaking voice, and this is how we always sound.
Of course. This week on the Indie Film Review, we are not actually reviewing an independent film. Rather, we're just catching up. We're going to talk about what we've seen together. That's really... I'm sorry, guys. I'll stop. We are catching up this week because just life gets in the way with this pandemic. Like, you know, life already was hard enough. Already. Seriously. And it gets worse. So... today we're going to talk about maybe video games, some films that we've seen, some films that we're looking forward to, indie film news.
Ooh.
What's all this? I cannot wait to talk to you.
What's the news? Indie film news.
I cannot wait to talk to anybody about this film that I watched over the week, and it really, really, really made me mad. So it's going to be a fun show. Stay tuned.
Grumpy boy Dan. Yes, this is another relaxed fit. Episode where we just play catch up and we're hanging out with you guys. You know, we're having fun. We can talk about whatever we want because it's our, what is it? What would be the word when we're off duty, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, Dan, tell us about this movie that made you mad.
Okay. So, Jared, have you ever seen, I think it's 1996. Let me double check.
I have not seen 1996. No.
Fuck you.
Gotcha, buddy. That's the great kind of banter you can definitely hear in our show.
Have you ever seen the film? It's directed by Tony Scott, the director of The Hunger, if you will. And also Ridley Scott's brother. So, you know, it's a promising movie. And here we go. It's called The Fan. Have you seen The Fan before, Jared?
Is that a Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Vehicle? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I have seen it.
Did you like it? Very vague.
I can't remember a single thing about it.
Okay, so basically Robert De Niro plays this down on his luck baseball fan, and like he committed his whole life to baseball, right? Okay. And he is divorced from his wife, and she wants to get a restraining order against him because he's just a fucking he's the worst person in the world. Like, he's so unlikable. Okay. It's ridiculous. And he's a knife salesman, so he loses customers because of how fucking awful he is, and he ends up getting fired. But he's obsessed with this famous baseball player played by Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
And Wesley Snipes is new to the San Francisco Giants, and he's kind of competing with the person who's already on the team that's actually really, really good, just as good as him. Mm. And the conflict between those two baseball players is Wesley Snipes always wears number 11, but he has to wear number 33 in this because the guy who's already there has number 11. So there's beef between the baseball players. And Robert Downey Jr. shows up
and he's like, hey, I gotta get in my Iron Man suit. And they fly over to Captain America because he's in trouble.
So Robert De Niro ends up killing this other dude for Wesley Snipes. And Wesley Snipes gets his mojo back. And Wesley Snipes doesn't know... Robert De Niro killed this guy.
This is good.
Right? Wesley Snipes doesn't know that Robert De Niro is the one that killed him, but Robert De Niro expects a thank you. So he ends up kidnapping this guy's son, and I'll just leave it at that, spoiler free. Like, that's where all the thriller is. But the fucking... Okay.
Here we go.
The music in this film.
That's not what I expected at all.
Is half Rolling Stones being blared in a van radio and Robert De Niro singing along poorly to it, which is done on purpose. But then the other half of the fucking soundtrack is goddamn Nine Inch Nails, because that's who was popular at the time. So the whole fucking movie is tonally everywhere because of whatever music that they decide to play during that scene. It was fucking off the wall bonkers. It was overlong. It was 2 hours long, and it took way too long to get through the first hour. I thought it was cast all right, except for Robert De Niro. I think he was too old to play the person in that movie because of how young his son is. Like, they should have given that to somebody who was a little bit younger. You know what I mean? Or okay. I don't know.
We get it, Dan. Older people aren't allowed to have kids and happiness. No, you're right.
But it was okay. Here's the deal. It was acted well. It was a fun baseball movie for what it was. But it just took too long to get where it was, and the soundtrack is shitty. And I love Rolling Stones, and I love Nine Inch Nails, but it did not work.
Okay,
it
Dan.
It did not work.
If I locked you in the room and you had to watch The Fan or that fan movie with John Travolta for 24 hours, which one would you pick?
Probably the John Travolta one.
Oh, it was called The Fanatic. That's what it was. The Fanatic,
yeah.
The Fan and The Fanatic. What if you had to watch them back to back?
Oh, my God.
Two powerhouses of acting. Competing head to head.
Well, okay, The Fan had better acting and a better story, yeah, but The Fanatic kept me engaged more. Like, I don't know. I don't know, mm-hmm. man. Just mm-hmm. I would not recommend watching The Fan if you've never seen it before. And Jared, yeah. you keep forgetting it.
I know. I forget a lot of things. Okay, Dan. Movie I'd like to talk about is Antebellum. Have you heard of it?
I have heard the name before.
Yes, so it is. There's a lot of buzz going around about it. Some people saying they love it. Some people saying, eh. It's really mixed in the pot. I was hearing things of, like, it's like Get Out. It's in that vein. And mm-hmm. I loved Get Out. I thought Get Out was really good. It has similar themes to Get Out, and it has, like, a twist of that. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to talk about this movie without spoiling it. And when you read the synopsis of it, when you go to watch it, it's very confusing because it says, like, this girl is going to solve a mystery in modern day. But then when you see the movie, like, half the film takes place in the Revolutionary War, where Confederates are just abusing black people.
You mean the Civil War?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Civil War. Thank you for the correction. Because, like, that is that wouldn't have made any sense. Yes, so in the Civil War, Confederates, and they're fighting, and it's about these slaves that are all trapped there and how they are just abused and raped and tortured by these evil Confederate guys. And it's hard to watch. I mean, the first part of the movie, I get it. It's like, these are really bad dudes. We have to kind of show that they're bad, but it almost gets into, like, a torture type of mm-hmm. thing, and I'm just like, I don't know if I can watch. Like, this is so intense. But then after that, the movie shifts gears, and it starts to get a lot better. And the twist is actually pretty good. So, I say the film is okay. It's pretty good. I don't know. I mean, if this sounds interesting to you at all, I'd say go see it. It's definitely well made. And there are some things in it where you're like some of the historical inaccuracies, and I'm not a fucking historian, but there are certain things that I feel like a lot of people could pick up on when they're watching it, where you're like, that doesn't make sense, or why are they doing this? It's actually intentional, and it actually makes sense later on.
Right.
So there were some cool payoffs of, like, things not making sense, and then it tying that together actually later on. Yeah, I think that's all I can really say on the movie. I felt pretty lukewarm on it, and it definitely had a strong finish, if you know what I mean. Dan, did you have another show or movie or whatever to talk about?
I got a couple. We know that we are in the throes of Spooktober, so
yes.
I'm going to go ahead and start recommending some independent horror movies. If you want to see, you know, good indie films, probably ones that you've already heard of, but, like, maybe watch them this year if you are an avid horror movie watcher, with a new critical eye that understands that this was made for little to no money. But you have Friday the 13th, that was an independent feature before it was sold to Paramount.
Oh, little indie.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I believe, was independent. Evil Dead, independent. Creep.
Hell yeah.
Is an excellent independent movie. Just start, you know, peppering in your normal horror movie Spooktober watchings with independent films. But I watched two Spooktober movies so far for the spooky season, and that would be Sleepaway Camp 3 and Halloween. I returned to Halloween, guys. Man, Halloween. Yes, it's a
nice,
beautiful film.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so well done. Watch that.
That's the
that.
One where she gets him with a coat hanger, right?
Yes. That and that brings me to my next comment, which is about Halloween Kills. So, Jared, do you see the remake of Halloween, the 2018 version?
I saw a newer one where it was like they set a bunch of booby traps for him.
Yes.
Yeah, and he gets burned in the basement. Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, okay. He gets burned in the basement. It was a huge explosion. Yeah. You remember that, right?
Yep.
There's a fucking sequel.
Is he immortal? Is he not human?
I don't know. I don't know. But I do want to talk a little bit about Sleepaway Camp 3 because it felt independent, but it was like a package deal. Like Sleepaway Camp 2 and Sleepaway Camp 3 were filmed at the same time. And it wasn't, it was just one of those shitty slasher films that, like, well, there were a couple really creative deaths. I will give it that. Anyway, it was a fun romp in terms of being, you know, one of those teenagers in the woods, let's kill them all flicks, but it didn't hold a candle to the first Sleepaway Camp. So, I don't know. Just be watching horror films, guys. Horror films need your love.
Dan's review of Sleepaway Camp 3. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how I felt about Antebellum. I was like, this is pretty good. I mean, there's so much that went into it, but I'm just like, Another film that I think looks interesting, but I haven't seen yet. It hasn't come out. Is it's called Kindred. Mm. I believe it's going to be on demand November 6th. Now, I don't know if it's good, but it looks interesting. Here, I'll read the synopsis. A psychological thriller ripping with suspense. Kindred follows vulnerable mother-to-be Charlotte, played by Tamara Lawrence, as she is taken by her recently deceased boyfriend's mother, Fiona Shaw, and her stepson, Jack Lowden, who seem increasingly obsessed with her every move, plagued by mysterious hallucinations. Ooh, I could have said that better. Charlotte's suspicions grow about Margaret and Thomas's intentions for her unborn child. Oh, no! So it could be like, what's that one movie everyone's got a huge boner for about, like, the Satanist cult and the Antichrist? You know what I'm talking about?
Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah, it's like a Rosemary's Baby, but for modern times. I know about
films. I was
going to
say, like, because normally whenever you say everybody's got a huge boner for it, you, like, you remain critical and you're like, but I don't. But Rosemary's Baby was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, no, I've heard, you know, I think I saw it so long ago, I honestly can't say if I liked it or not. I'm sure I did. But yeah, that is a film. Another movie that looked interesting to me is, it's called Falling. It hasn't been announced yet, or the release date, and it is the directorial debut of Viggo Mortensen.
Really?
Yes, and it's about him taking in his elderly father, and basically it's about their falling relationship. You know, like he's trying to connect with his dad, but his dad is just so at odds with him. You know what I mean?
Dude,
so
I like me some.
They're
fucking,
really butting heads. And he acts in it too. Yeah.
Oh, and Lance Henriksen is his dad. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And Laura Linney's in it. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And David Cronenberg is in it. As a proctologist? What?
Now it just sounds like you're making shit up, man.
I'm not.
I told you, it sounds pretty good. So yeah, it's Falling. Viggo Mortensen. I love Viggo Mortensen. Because he was in Kauka. And, I mean, I think that's all he did, right? I don't think Viggo Mortensen has been in any other films besides that one.
Yeah,
film
no.
I
don't think so either.
But yeah, I think Falling is going to be really good. You should go see it.
He might play piano, though. I'm pretty sure he's a jazz pianist. I don't know. Who is he, anyway? I was reading this article. There's a director by the name of Ben Wheatley. I didn't bother to see what he directed.
Okay.
Look that up for me.
Good intel for the show. That's good. You're doing your research.
I'm so bad. Hold on.
No, dude, it's fine. Who cares?
Anyway, this director, Ben Wheatley, he directed a short, or he directed a horror film in 15 days.
Oh,
during lockdown.
Damn. Okay.
And it's about the lockdown. It's about our current situation. Like
oh,
he
nice.
was He made it in between films to be like a palate cleanser for his creative venture, but also like exercising all the stress of being, you know, cooped up for.
Do you think this is going to be like a Mark Duplass type of film?
I don't know. I'm hoping it might be
like a mumblecore.
There's no. I don't think he released a title that I remember from the article, but I'm interested to see films that are being directly influenced by what we're going through right now.
That is, well, speaking of kind of that, so Borat 2 apparently is coming out. I don't know why. I mean, Borat, I mean, I love the guy, Sacha Baron Cohen?
Sacha Baron Cohen, yeah.
Who does Borat and all his characters. I think he's hilarious. He's wonderful. That show, This Is America, I've always wanted to watch it. I just never got around to it. But yeah, Borat 2, I guess. Apparently he was on Twitter trolling people and declaring Donald Trump the victor of the first presidential debates.
Oh my God.
People were like, what's going on? but yeah, I don't know. Could be good. I'll withhold judgment until it's...
Well,
until
speaking of movies that we didn't ask for, Jared.
yeah.
There's one that is not on my radar, but it's one of those things that kind of got into my radar, but mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I don't want to see that. So I pushed it away. But they're making a biopic that is the, quote, making of The Godfather. So they're casting somebody to play... Or Francis Ford Coppola, they're casting somebody to play, you know, all the key players in the making of that movie. Who the fuck wants to see
what?
That as a biopic?
That's weird. I mean, it's like, I find myself asking myself,
do I really ever want to watch The Godfather again?
Mm-hmm.
Do I?
Do you? It sounds like Dirty Harry. Do you feel lucky? And a lot of this news we got from IndieWire.com, yes. By the way, if you guys want to like read some of these articles. A lot of really good stuff on there. Dan, why don't we talk about some of the trailers I forced you to watch?
Yes, okay. So you forced me to watch Dune.
Yeah, the new Dune.
And Dune...
How'd you feel?
I liked it. I think the casting is pretty much appropriate. Yeah. I really liked the worm. Oh my God. The worm was incredible.
What did you think about the worm in the movie, though?
If only we had like a little party puller. Like,
turns out she was an orangutan.
Whoa! Call back to some episode somewhere. maybe if you would listen more, guys.
Yeah, maybe would you pay attention to it. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I agree. I think Timothy Chalamet as the lead role is gonna is super cool. I honestly think Kyle MacLachlan should have came back as his dad. That would have been awesome. Maybe he's a little too old, but I love the casting. They have the Khal Drogo actor. I'm sorry, I forget your name. He's wonderful.
While I find this promising, this is a dude who has hit a lot of things out of the park in terms of being a director. So it's directed by Denis Villeneuve, I think is how you pronounce him. And this guy has directed Prisoners. I don't know if you've seen that. He directed Enemy, Sicario, Blade Runner, the new one.
Ooh,
like
dude.
He's done a lot of really good movies.
Yeah.
And he kind of knows what he's doing. He's definitely in the know.
So, stylistically, the film is kind of giving me, like, Starship Trooper vibes. Mm-hmm. Not in, like, the terms of, like, theme or, like, how, like, campy that movie was. But just, like, how the armor looks and the vehicle. Like, I love it's like a retro future. Yeah. It's cool. I really like it. You were telling me you liked the, there was, like, dragonfly.
Yeah, like little dragonfly ships.
Spaceships. That, yeah, that shit's really rad. Funny. And I will concur with Dan. The worm was... very handsome. I'll say.
The worm is very handsome. But overall, like, as bad as the first movie is, or people think it is, like, I enjoyed that movie. It's a little long.
The original?
Yeah. But...
How long has it been since you've seen it?
Oh, so long. That's probably one that I gotta revisit.
Yeah, because I love the movie, and then I made my girlfriend watch it recently. I think this year. And everything holds up until the third act. The third act is so rushed. And
is that where the guy starts flying around the air?
It's the whole, like, David Lynch is going to try to film a battle scene, and he has no idea how to film a battle scene. And the book is so big that they just, like, rush the ending. I don't know. It was not great. But anytime there's dialogue and just characters interacting, it's wonderful. But anytime there's action, just Lynch just doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how. It's not his bag. I don't blame him. But, yeah, this is one of the things I really wanted them to redo, and I'm so happy they
are. Well, and, like, we were teased at one point where it leaked that Jodorowsky had planned on doing it, and now there's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune, and that would have been an amazing film.
It would have been the most insane thing you've ever seen. I think there's a movie about him trying to make the film. And I just saw stills from it, and it looked ridiculous. I love Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's one of my favorites. That guy's out of control. If you like David Lynch, you'll like Jodorowsky. Listeners, you should look him up. Look up his movies.
Santa Sangre, Holy
Yeah, that's
Holy
probably
Mountain.
A good starting point. That's probably his most commercial film. And then after that, it gets out of control.
I feel
like El Topo and the Holy Mountain.
El Topo.
Just like, oh, man. Jesus, man. It gets really weird. Fondo Elise.
Yeah,
he's
Fondo Elise.
Now I'm just flexing my film muscle all over the podcast. I'll stop. I'm sorry. The Green Knight is another trailer I made you watch, Dan.
This one looks interesting.
Film I'm looking forward to.
Okay, so as opposed to Dune, Green Knight doesn't really give you that much information about what it is actually about. But there's elements in it that seem really fantastical. Like, there's this really cool scene that it's only there for a second, but you see, like, a giant hand coming over a mountain and somebody in the foreground, like, looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is that?
Seriously, it looks super good. I mean, it's A24 is putting it out, which, I mean, come on. When have they done something bad?
And come on, when is A24 not putting out?
Nice! You fucking wrecked A24. And the lead character, Dave Patel, he is awesome. Dave Patel is someone people need to fucking pay attention to. This guy is really, really good. Slumdog Millionaire, he was in Chappie. He was, unfortunately, I'm reading now, in The Last Airbender. I never saw it, but he's in so many good movies. I just think he's a terrific actor. So I'm very excited to see him on the screen. And the movie, it's like a gothic horror. It looks like you're playing D&D, but with like Call of Cthulhu rules, meaning like you can die at any time.
Right.
if you critical fail or whatever, you're just fucking, you're dead. You're dead now. It's just really dark, dark fantasy. It looks fantastic. And like horror, like there's a horror element to it. So yeah, The Green Knight, I think it's going to be rad.
I'm looking more at this director's credits. So he completed The Green Knight. The next movie he's doing is a remake of Peter Pan.
Oh, like a new Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Okay, that could be good. I don't know.
It could be. Jude Law is in it. Ooh.
Oh, Jude Law plays
Jude
every
Law
single
Captain
character.
Jude Law is Captain Hook.
What? What?
Dude.
What?
Yes.
I don't know if you can compete with Hook,
Dustin
though,
Hoffman.
The movie, with Dustin Hoffman and what's his face?
You know, so many people hate that movie, Bob Hoskins.
What?
Yeah,
with Robin
dude.
Williams?
Yeah.
People hate that film? I've never heard a single person ever say they did not like that film. Who are you around that's saying
film
that?
Film school people.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
fucking
like that film gets a
disgusting.
Lot of
disgusting.
Hate.
I could go through, I could write a fucking 10-page, maybe more, dissertation on how this is an amazing film.
Yeah.
And, like, just go through and, like, name, like, how, like, the construction of the film and how no scene is wasted. Everything about it. The comedy works, the acting works,
exactly.
The camera angles.
Yeah, I don't understand why people have such beef with it, but, like,
that movie and The Lion King, I could also, like, go through and be like, this is how you make a film. that's ridiculous. What do they say bad about it?
You know what? Nobody actually engages in argument in that.
Really?
Like, they just
kind
of, like, they'll say, oh, that film's terrible. And I never, like, ask why. I'm just
next
like,
time, oh. You should ask them, be like, what is so bad about that movie?
Or not, because I don't like confrontation anyway.
That's true. I don't like confrontation either. Anyways. Dan, was there anything else you'd like to talk about before we close up?
Yes. If you have not done so already and you are a fan of the Mario franchise, I recommend getting that three-package Mario deal of all the 3D titles, Mario 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy. I'm playing it right now. It's good.
Dude, it's cool. One thing people were really upset about is that they didn't put Galaxy 2 in it, which is also a super good game. I feel like it would have been like a perfect package if they would have gotten Galaxy 1 and 2. But what can you do? Maybe they'll release another one sometime soon. I don't
maybe
know. Put some more in there. But yeah, I mean, Sunshine is an underrated gem. That game is really fucking good.
And then
it's
chill. Yeah, I'm reading more articles about that now that it's been released, and like people are like, is this a good game or is it a terrible game? I'm like, who the what?
Because I just keep hearing and reading a lot of hate, people saying it's not a great game, and I don't know. I remember really there's something about like cleaning up a mess in a game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you're going around and like, I have to get every little thing and make everything look nice.
And then all the
really
jumping
fun.
Puzzles in that game are like super difficult.
Yeah.
Like the very first one, it took me forever to get past. It was crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely a little gem, a little diamond in the rough. One more thing I want to talk about video game wise is the new roguelike. By the time you listen to this, it should have already been out for like a few weeks, called Hades. It was in early access for a while, and I stayed away from it, even though it looked amazing. And it is about the son of Hades trying to escape the underworld and get to Mount Olympus. Mm. But his dad keeps killing him, and like other people keep killing him, and he keeps coming back. And it's like his struggle to basically leave hell. And it is a roguelike adventure game with an amazing, like, the story is so interesting and fun, and I just feel like the diversity of the gameplay so far is really good. I'm maybe like 5 or 6 hours into it, but it seems like it's gonna have a lot of replay value. The art design is fantastic, fully voice acted pretty much. The voices are so good. I mean, like, this is like bordering on a 10 out of 10 type of game. If you like roguelikes, it's pretty high up there. The game is almost flawless.
I do like me some roguelikes.
So I 100% recommend Hades. And now it's like an action-y game, you know? It's not like a turn-based. It's not like a dungeon crawl stone soup or anything like that. But yeah, really, really highly recommend it. Super good. Really enjoying it.
Nice.
Okay. Well, we did it, Dan.
We did indeed.
Ooh,
you can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod, and you can tweet at us and be like, I played that game, or The Fan was the best movie I've ever seen. Shut up. You can also find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod, where I post pictures of movie posters and
movie
other things.
Posters?
You can find us at Gmail at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com, and you can
send us an email saying how much you hate Hook.
Exactly. Seriously. Send us an email about how much you hate Hook, and then tell us that you filmed this film specifically in retaliation to Hook, and we'll review that.
Hook 2, when it's finally good. Starring only one person in their living room.
Performance art.
Yeah,
they pull,
it's like 3 hour
barbed wire
long
out
movie.
Of their ass.
Yeah, they're just doing sock puppets.
Oh my god,
so good! It would just be like a fanfic of Hook and Peter Pan, like just doing it.
I'm sure.
Oh, Peter!
I'm sure
now
I'm gonna look
18.
That up later.
There's so many things I want to show you. Oh, like what? I'm actually Jesus. Doing the hand puppet motions, Dan. Like, I got sock puppets on them. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you for putting up with us and all our shenanigans. And hopefully we're going to have some more quality episodes coming out later. Hugs and kisses. I love you very much. And I tuck you in, but we're in the internet. So, and this is where we live. Please go to thenecropodicon.com and click on the link to the fucking Discord. you animals. And come say hello to us. For God's sakes. We have so much fun over there. We've been doing a Call of Cthulhu fan game with like some listeners and some hosts of other shows. I'm on it. It's so much fun. It kind of reminds me of Evil Dead right now, where we are in the campaign, because we are actually in a cabin in the woods getting attacked by monsters, nice. Supernatural beings, and it's a nightmare. And I play a hobo in it, and I'm a little scamp. And yeah, it's nice. A lot of fun. We should check it out. You'll be able to check it out soon. I think we're still hashing out the details on how you can get it and whatever. But if you were on the Discord, you could listen to it being recorded live. Yeah, ooh. That's right. So go fuck yourself. Anyways, with love. Thank you guys. Love you so much. Danny, the final word.
If I were playing that game, I'd be a tree branch with a +2 to vagina maiming.
What?
Oh, you don't no, remember I got that the reference. Scene from The Evil Dead?
I got the reference and it's bad. I don't like it. No.
Gosh dang it.
What is it, Filson?
Well, Tommy, I just got done listening to the Role Playing Guys podcast.
And?
It was painfully informative. All they do is talk about games I've never heard of.
What do you mean?
Well, every season they take a new TTRPG and they playtest it. Like I just listened to the season where they play Corporia.
Oh, you mean the awesome cyberpunk game set in the corporate-controlled future?
Yeah, that's the one. Ugh, and they also played this game called Numenera.
That's the one about the post-apocalyptic future where a ton of knowledge has been lost, but ancient technology is being found, right?
Yes, and Wrath and Glory, have you ever heard of that?
Of course, I love Warhammer 40K.
Jeez, you sure know a lot of these games.
I sure do, but I haven't had the time, and my adventuring party hates testing out new games.
I guess you might like the show. All I know is I'm tired of learning all these new games.
Thanks, I'll have to check them out.
If Tommy sounds like you, a passionate game lover looking for the next game to try out, you are sure to love the Roleplaying Guys podcast. Every week they come out with a new episode, and every season it's a new game. They test out new games so you don't have to. If you sound more like Filson, stay as far away from this podcast as possible. You might inadvertently come across a new game that you'll love, and you'll have to learn all about it. The Roleplaying Guys is a Necropodicon show.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.